divide, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's his cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows what's new.
God is filled with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, the heart's beating faster. It's getting a little harder to breathe. And the neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Good morning and welcome to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's time to slip back the curtains and savor the beauty of this fine Sunday morning. Settle down on the chaise lounge with a warming mug of happy hellos and a plateful of wondrous wishes as we enjoy a metaphorical dive into the pool of poetic peregrinations and gallivanting geekery. Welcome to the weird wonder that is Willow's Weekend World.
Good morning and welcome from a beautiful United Kingdom. My name is Willow Andreasen, also known as Sari Sunflower, in the Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com chat room. And this is a Sunday, the 13th of February, 2022 edition of this weird old show of mine, Willow's Weekend World. I can hear a sort of woo in the back. It doesn't sound quite like a woo. It's a sort of like a gush of wind, but I don't think you can hear it. Only I can hear it. But, yeah, it's going to be that sort of show, folks. But, before I get started, I just want to say a big, big thank you to everyone who has been covering the overnight. So I think there's been a repeat of Wednesday's round table. Well, I'll say Thursday night round table for over on A. We've had the Art Bell reruns here on B. But again, a big, big thank you to all the hosts for everything they all do. Truly, truly appreciated indeed. And to the producers and moderators, sometimes a very thankless task indeed. But both sets of individuals approach the tasks at hand with smiles on their faces, hope in their hearts, and with a rugged sense of humour. That's probably the best way to approach it, really. Big, big thank you to the producers and moderators, and also huge outpourings of gratitude to the team that I'm humbled and honoured to be a part of. And when I say that the team bends over backwards and beyond, folks, no matter what the weather, in sickness and in health, etc., I mean it. Make sure that this station with both its studios remains on air for as close to 24/7 as we can get it, which is most of the time. And again, big, big thank you to the team for everything they all do in keeping this wonderful vessel of ours afloat upon the ever deepening and darkening quagmire that is censorship. And we're going to continue doing it, folks. We're going to continue doing it. Also, huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs and kisses to Liz Ringley, who continues to represent so, so much to the station. And to the individual whose presence, whose vision, whose drive convinced him he needed to establish this, or construct this vessel rather, over 11 years ago now. And he ostensibly started the station as a self-sufficiency station, really, where people could tune in and learn how to develop a more government-free life. But it has expanded over the years to become an international family of like-minded folks who have gravitated together to see people through the times we are now living, which he could see coming. And we miss him every single day. And that's Mike Ringley, that's Nighthawk. Big, big thank you to Hawk for everything. He will always represent this station and continues to be, actually. And I'm looking at his photograph, as I say this as well. Huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs and kisses to my late other half, Briarios, for everything that he continues to represent in my life. Thank you very, very much indeed, my love. And also huge, huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs and kisses to some very, very special loved ones in my life. They know exactly who they are. They know exactly who they are. And to the musician, strange turn of events over the past week, but yeah, I'll handle it. Love you very much, my dear. And last but not least, folks, huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love to you amazing listeners. We do this for you. We wouldn't be able to do this without you either, folks. It's a totally symbiotic relationship. It's your kindness, your love, your support and generosity that enables us to continue providing you with such a wide variety of shows hosted by amazing individuals from all around the world on a close to 24/7 basis. And also you'll notice as well, pretty much commercial free. The only promotions you hear here at the station are to do with the station itself. Station shows, station business. You will hear hosts promoting their own wares, which we're perfectly fine with. But the breaks that you'll hear primarily you'll hear station related information. And it's your support that enables us to continue doing this. And we do not take your support for granted, folks, because we know it's been a very challenging time for so many of you. With this ridiculousness that has enveloped the planet over the past couple of years. And you're supporting us through these times. We do not take that support for granted, folks. And I know I'm speaking on behalf of everybody here at the station when I say we hope you can feel our gratitude, our immense gratitude, enveloping you with its warmth from across the airwaves. A big, big thank you to you all, you lovely, lovely people. Big, big thank you indeed. As I've just mentioned, we are entirely listener-supported, folks, and if you'd like to help us out and you're not sure how, what I recommend you do, you visit our website, which you can reach using one of two URLs. It's either www.revolution.radio, that's www.revolution.radio, or www.freedomslips.com. I'll repeat that, www.freedomslips.com. And then you'll arrive upon this amazing website of ours, which has been established and lovingly maintained by the wonderful Monster 383. So when you see him in the chat room, say a big hello to him and big thank you as well. And the places you need to explore to be found on the nav bar, folks, which is to be found at the top of the homepage. It's the static bar of information. It remains there So if you want to check out the schedule, if you don't want to lose your place on the homepage, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You just click on the schedule, it opens up in a new tab for you, and you can go back to where you were on the homepage afterwards. But the first place you need to explore, folks, if you'd like to support us, is Fifth Along on the Nav Bar. That's the store. That's a link to our Zazzle store. Go to check it today. See if there's any special offers. And indeed there is. And it's probably a very good day to go in if you fancy, if you need to get yourself a new coffee mug or anything like that. Good day to go in there today, folks. 25% off everything. That's 25% off everything on the station's store's virtual shelves. So go in there, check them out, bag yourself a bargain, and then you'll be helping the station as well. Also check out those designs on them as well. Hawks and painters designs. Really rather wonderful. Next along is the donations option. That's the penultimate option there. You click on that, opens up in a new tab for you as well. Details all the methods bar two of supporting the station. Bar two, and I've just mentioned one of those, which is the store. We've got Patreon, we've got Donor Box, we've got Direct Payment North America only. You can support us on a monthly basis if you happen to be a patron of ours, and you need to be a patron to do that. You can become a patron either by clicking on this particular option here, and it'll open up in a new tab for you, or you can return to the homepage, and you'll find it sitting pretty in pink at the top. Again, a big, big thank you to our patrons as well, sending you lots of love and hugs and everything else, all the lovely things. Donor Box, that's the alternative to PayPal, international in scope, it's easy to use, and again, you can set up something for a regular monthly support, or you can use it whenever you wish. Direct Payment North America only applies if you happen to live in the US or Canada and have a credit or debit card, same options available there as with Donor Box, and also equally as easy to use. We do accept three different types of cryptocurrency of support, folks, and we have the QR codes on the screen as well. But I will tell you what those cryptocurrencies that we accept are. They are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. And yep, as just mentioned, there's QR codes on the screen. What you do is you point your devices at them and do your thing. And last but not least, the snail mail details. Folks, yep, we still accept checks or money orders, and they are to be made payable to Revolution Radio. That's two separate words. Revolution spelled R-E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. I'll repeat that. It's R-E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. And radio is spelled R-A-D-I-O. I'll repeat that as well. It's R-A-D-I-O. And then they are to be mailed to the wonderful lady horse, Terry Ackerman. Terry spelled T-E-R-R-Y. I'll repeat that. T-E-R-R-Y. And Ackerman is spelled A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. I'll repeat that as well. It's A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. And the mailing address is 1793. That's 1793 North Eden. Eden spelled E-D-O-N Road. And that's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Michigan, M-I, 49227. So checks or money orders made payable to Revolution Radio are then to be mailed to the wonderful lady horse, Terry Ackerman, at 1793 North Eden Road. And that's Allen, Michigan, 49227. Those details are also on the main homepage, folks, at the bottom. And I'm heading there right now. You know what I'm going to check out? I'm checking out the count. 390,441. Yay! Big, big thank you to everybody. We're steaming towards the 400,000 mark on this one. Big, big thank you to you all. And yeah, if you've got a product or company you'd like to advertise, folks, but cost is a bit of an issue. You would like it to have wide coverage as well, but yeah, cost is a bit of an issue. But for $25 a month, you can advertise on the station's website, folks. $25 a month is all it is to advertise on the station's website. And as you just heard, it receives a healthy number of visitors per day. And for further details, though, you need to contact the station's general manager, Amad Painter, using the following email address, which is themadpainter13@yahoo.com. That's themadpainter13@yahoo.com. I'll repeat what I'm going to do is I'm going to spell out that first segment for you. It's themadpainter13, and now I'll repeat it, themadpainter13@yahoo.com, all lowercase in format by the way. And don't forget, we've also got call to listen numbers for both studios, folks. They're numbers you just call, you just listen. You don't have to talk. You just call, you just listen. But before you do so, contact your cell phone and landline service, or landline service providers, or both, as they do packages nowadays, don't they? And check out those costs first, because there are costs involved with calling those numbers. We don't want you getting any nasty shocks in your bills, but once you've spoken to them, once you're happy with what you've been told. The dedicated call to listen number for Studio A is 518-906-1839. I'll repeat that. It's 518-906-1839. And the dedicated call to listen number for Studio B is 518-906-1859. So that's 518-906-1859. Don't forget to call and check those costs, folks. And last but not least are the archives, folks. They're free to access, will be for the foreseeable. And you can reach the archives either by clicking on the archives option, which is third along on the nav bar, or going direct to its URL, which is www.revolutionradioarchives.com. That's www.revolutionradioarchives.com. And in order to access the cornucopia chat show goodness you will find within each folder, you need the username and the password, folks, both of which are lowercase and case-sensitive in format. The username is Rev Radio. That's Rev Radio. I'll spell that for you. It's R-E-V-R-A-D-I-O. I'll repeat that, R-E-V-R-A-D-I-O. And the password is ROX exclamation mark. That's ROX exclamation mark. And I'll spell that for you. It's R-O-C-K-S exclamation mark. And I'll repeat that for you. It's R-O-C-K-S exclamation mark. Don't forget that exclamation mark, folks, because without it, you won't get in. I know that because I omitted it and I didn't get in. But again, a big, big thank you to everyone for your continued support. Big thank you indeed. Big, 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 big thank you. Right, what's going to be happening on today's show then? Well, I'm going to be wandering to the chat room shortly to say a big hello to everybody else and make sure everybody else is okay. Everybody else, everybody in there. Everybody else! And, yeah, the first hour, well, as I say, it starts during the first hour anyway, because I'll invariably be carrying this over to the second hour. And I mean, I don't know at this point whether or not the poetry is even going to happen, but we'll see. But you'll find out why that's the case. Because we're venturing into the world of music and focusing upon the sounds produced by one of its most fantastic of instruments. And that's the fretted marvel that is the guitar. We're going to first journey to Rolling Stone to study their list of whom they consider to be the 100 best guitarists in the world. And they had a panel of luminaries in the field, which gathered together to put together this list in 2015. So I will be going through the whole list, which is why I say I think that I should have mentioned on the Facebook and MeWe blurb that perhaps that it might be optional. And after which we're going to be venturing to guitar player to examine 20 of the greatest guitar solos of all time in their estimation. Because there are others who may well disagree with them. But going to be looking forward to this one, actually. And then second hour, if things run to schedule, which I don't know if they will or not. If it does, yeah, we'll be looking at the poetry, which was deferred from last Sunday morning's show because of, well, I ran out of time, didn't I? We will savour an odyssey through the epics and supernatural lore of old with a selection of the best poems penned about the fantasy literary genre. But again, if it doesn't happen this week, it'll happen next week, honest. yeah, it probably would definitely happen next week. So let's wander into the chat room now, shall we, and say a big hello to everybody in there. Make sure everybody is okay. Let's see. Who's in there. The Red Pill is in, of course, that's Stephen Crawford, one of our fabulous hosts. He is the host of the show of that name, which is going to be on a bit later today at 8 p.m. Eastern on this studio. One of our fabulous moderators is in, that's Dry Fly Guy. A wonderful manager, Monster383, is in the chat room, as well as Jane. Green Man is in, as well as WH Devo. The station's GM, the fabulous man that he is, AMAD, is in the chat room as well. And Painter has three shows on Studio A. He's going to be on a bit later today. Well, a bit later. It's about an hour and a bit now. It's 11 a.m. Eastern with a mad look at reality. He also rounds off Monday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern with an open canvas. And he was occasionally sees in Saturday mornings at midnight Eastern with an open round table as well. Sheer Cheap is in the chat room as well as Robert B. Nero. Simply Red 777 is in as well as Batman. Wally is in as well as Gino 2017. In the kitchen is in as well as Gino 27. Well, I've just said Gino 2017. I'm going back the other way now. Yes. Give me whatever. I don't think the caffeine's kicked in yet. Cat Dog Girl is in as well as Dirt Engineer. Popsicle Toes is in as well as Malia. Valerie is in as well as Mace 139. Another fabulous moderator is in. That's Comet, as well as some weird person by the name of Sorry Sunflower. Piper Likes to Be Paid is in, as well as one of our fabulous managers as well. Punk Rabbit, that's Patrick, who of course is the host of Not for Public Consumption, which is on this studio on Thursdays at midday Eastern. The voice of the Omanites at the weekend and sometimes during the week as well. Jer Bear is in the chat room, as well as another fabulous host of ours. That's Blessing, who is Zoe. Zoe is the host of From Z to Infinity, which is on Studio A on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. And another fabulous manager is in. That's the right Reverend Dr. Mr. Rowe, who needs a new title, folks. Come on. Take the challenge. I'm trying to decide what titles we're going to give him. He's like I say, one of our fabulous managers as well. And he has three offerings on Studio A. He's on a bit later today at 5 p.m. Eastern with the Row Lounge. Two 4 p.m. offerings. Mondays is Crypto Corner. Tuesdays is Rose Corner. And he's also on this studio on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern with Reality Extraction. But he pops up anywhere, does Row. And Nezomania has been in. Well, Nezomania is in as well. Let's see who has been in. Gear Jammer has been in as well as Fleece Bits. Dirt has been in as well as another fabulous host of ours. That's Mario, who is a host of two shows here on this studio. Both are called This, That and the Other. Both start at 6 p.m. Eastern. And they're on Mondays and Thursdays. Tubby's been in as well as... you've been in twice there, Fleece Bits. And another fabulous host of ours has been in. That's Sergeant Miller. Who is the host of a round table on Studio A. And I've got to remember that. I think it's 2 a.m. He's on Tuesdays. I should know this one off by heart. Oh, that's Two Feathers. Nah. I know that Sergeant Miller is on a lot. If he's not hosting a show, he should. perhaps that's my subtle way of saying get on with it. Oh dear. Let's see who else is in. I haven't missed anybody out, have I? No, I haven't. But if you'd like to come in and join us, folks, please do. It'd be good to see you. The more, the merrier. Be good to see you. And the lovely Lizzie has just come in. She's just come in. Yay! That's lovely Lizzie, of course, who is the host of Spirit Talk with Lizzie. Two shows a week. She's on Studio A on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. And she'll be on after this show today at 11 a.m. Eastern with, Spirit Talk with Lizzie. She's in as well. But come in and join us, folks. It'd be good to see you. The more, the merrier. So we're going to get started with this geeking out, folks. It's, we're focusing on the world, on the fretted marble that is the guitar. I did play it briefly. Well, I did play it for a while when I was younger. I can still play the opening chords to, Interstellar Overdrive now. If somebody hands me a guitar, I enjoy strumming them when I get the chance. But am I a maestro? Hell no. We're going to be focusing on who Rolling Stone considers to be their 100 best guitarists in the world. Now, I mean, we talk about music a lot here at the station because there's a lot of musicians here. And music is basically a fundamental part of everybody's life. And it's an important part in people's lives as well. There's a particular fondness for the guitar. I like the guitar. I like watching people playing guitars. I like listening to the sounds they produce. And the... So I thought I'd actually have a look at this. And Dr. Memjing has just come in as well. Hello! So I thought, well, let's... I want to... Let's just see what happens and where I... You know, which articles I find and... So I decided... Let's have a look at this... This list here. Of Rolling Stones. You know, it was not theirs, but they compiled it, put it together. They selected a panel of immensely powerful luminaries to compile this list and put it together. This is back in December 18th, 2015, this was posted up. I don't imagine it's significantly changed at all. But they assembled a panel of top guitarists. I'll read out the article first and to rank their favorites and explain what separates the legends from everyone else. So featuring Keith Richards on Chuck Berry, Carlos Santana on Jerry Garcia, Tom Petty on George Harrison and more. So the voters, this is who's in the panel. There's Trey Anastasio, Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, Brian Bell of Weezer, Richie Blackmore of Deep Purple, Carl Brummel of My Morning Jacket, James Burton, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, Gary Clark Jr., Billy Corgan, Steve Cropper, Dave Davis of The Kinks, Anthony DeCurtis, who's contributing editor of Rolling Stone, Tom DeLonge of Blink-182, Rick Derringer, Luther Dickinson of North Mississippi All-Stars, Elliot Easton of The Cars, Melissa Etheridge, Don Felder of The Eagles, David Frick, who's the senior writer of Rolling Stone, was at that point, Peter Grulnick, who's an author, Kirk Hammett of Metallica, Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes, Warren Haynes of the Allman Brothers Band, Brian Hyatt, who's also a senior writer with Rolling Stone, David Hidalgo of Los Lobos, Jim James of My Morning Jacket, Lenny Kravitz, Robbie Krieger of The Doors, John Landau, who's a manager, Alex Lifeson of Rush, Nils Lofgren of the E Street Band, Mick Mars of Motley Crue, Doug Marsh of Built to Spill, Jay Masisk of Dinosaur Jr., Brian May, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, Roger McGuinn of The Byrds, Scotty Moore, Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth, Tom Morello, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, Brendan O'Brien, who's a producer, Joe Perry, Vernon Reid of Living Colour, Robbie Robertson, Rich Robinson of The Black Crowes, Carlos Santana, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Marnie Stern, Stephen Stills, Andy Summers, Mick Taylor, Susan Tedeschi, View Farka Touré, Derek Trucks, Eddie Van Halen, Joe Walsh and Nancy Wilson of Heart. So a fair panel there, I would say. And the contributors are David Brown, Patrick Doyle, David Frick, Will Hermes, Brian Hyatt, Alan Light, Rob Tannenbaum and Douglas Wolk. So we start off with number 100, which is Lindsey Buckingham. I would have thought he would have been higher up on the list, actually, Lindsey Buckingham. I think he's a rather fabulous guitarist, and the thing about Lindsey Buckingham is he doesn't read music either. He doesn't write or read music. He records what he's got in his head. Self-taught as well. Interesting guy. Bit of a tough nut, but he's an interesting guy. So during Fleetwood Mac's hit-making era, Lindsey Buckingham transmuted the folk music of his banjo-playing youth into stadium rock, glistening harmonised leads, crisply snapping chords and frenetic arpeggiated breakdowns. It's not acceptable classical technique, he has said. You do what you can to get the sound you want. And the key tracks are Rhiannon and Go Your Own Way, which has been playing in my mind a lot over the past day, for some reason. It's somebody I know's favourite song, so I'm not hardly surprised, really, to be honest. Number 99 is Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth, who I have to say I don't know an awful lot about. So in the 80s, the Sonic Youth leader emerged as indie rock's premier guitar radical, mixing strange drone tunings, jamming screwdrivers or drumsticks under his strings, and blasting out Feedback's world punk jams. Thurston Moore influenced a generation of noise heads, from grunge rockers to shoegazers. Neil Young once said that if Sonic Youth wanted to record with him, hell, I'd be there. So key tracks are Expressway to Your Skull and Silver Rocket. Number 98 is Alex Lifeson. So even if he had never progressed beyond the brain-rattling riffing of 21, 12 and Xanadu, Rush's guitarist would have left his mark on Metallica and other light-minded metalheads. But he went on to fill out Rush's power trio sound with a seamless mix of lush arpeggios and rock crunch that sounded like at least two players at once. The guitar just had to make a broader statement, he says. Alex Lifeson reserves his most daring playing for his solos. Just try wrapping your head around the extraterrestrial lunacy of Free Will. So key tracks are La Villa Strangiato and The Spirit of Radio. Good track. Number 97 is Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols. So, yep, Steve Jones's brutish power chords and flamboyant gutter glam solos were a perfect mirror for the taunting file of Johnny Rotten and a yardstick for every punk rock noisemaker that followed. His legacy was set with indelible riffs on one record, which is 1977's Nevermind the Bollocks, that was an inspired guitarist from Slash to Billy Joe Armstrong. It was an attitude as much as a sound. As Jones told a journalist during his days with the Sex Pistols, "Actually, we're not into music, we're into chaos." Key tracks are God Save the Queen and Pretty Vacant. Number 96 is Bruce Springsteen. So Bruce Springsteen has always had a not-so-secret weapon. "I got signed in the pack of new Dylans," he told Rolling Stone. "But I could turn around, kickstart my Telecaster and burn the house down." Springsteen didn't make any technical breakthroughs on guitar, but few players are better at coaxing emotion from steel and wood. Witness the surf rock recklessness of Born to Run Solo, the junkyard dog bite of Adam Raised a Cane, and the melancholy twang of Tougher Than the Rest. And key tracks are Kitty's Back and Backstreets. Number 95 is Roger McGuinn. So Roger McGuinn's sparkling chordal 12-string Rickenbacker riffs on the Byrds' early hits with a sonic bridge between folk and rock and an irreplaceable colour in rock's palette. Every indie band who's more interested in beatific strumming than screaming solos owes him a debt. So the striking break in Bells of Rhymney could be on a Smiths record. McGuinn could do a lot more than chime, however, as demonstrated by still astonishing psychedelic Raga Coltrane licks on 8 Miles High. So yeah, key tracks are Mr. Tambourine Man and 8 Miles High. Number 94 is Peter Buck of REM. So REM's guitarist was a less is more master who never needed much more than swarming melodies and spangled riffs. From the laser-guided arpeggios on Radio Free Europe to the supersized power chords of The One I Love, his sound was both gorgeous and matter-of-factly aggressive, a DIY style that helped 80s underground rockers push beyond punk rock. They created 50,000 guitar bands after them, noted Billy Corgan. America was inundated with jangly REM-type bands. So yeah, the key tracks are Radio Free Europe and The One I Love, which is not a romantic song, by the way. Number 93 is Paul Simon. Now, I would have actually thought he would have been a little bit higher up. He's an astonishing guitarist, actually. I mean, I've been listening to some of the Simon and Garfunkel's live sets, and he's astonishing. Anyway, Paul Simon was a great wordsmith, speaks as vividly through his guitar as his lyrics. Weaned on early doo-wop and rock and roll, Simon got caught up in the folk revival during the mid-60s, travelling to England to study the acoustic mastery of Bert Jansch. And, yeah, his recent study as well was Simon and Garfunkel. And, yeah. Oh, he took his guitar seriously, and still does. He has continued absorbing new influences, as on Dazzling Blue, off his most recent album, So Beautiful or So What? All that folk finger-picking is what I did with Simon and Garfunkel, but it's on top of this rhythm with Indian musicians playing in 12-8. At 70, or he was then, he's now 77, I think. So he's as nimble as ever. Key tracks are Dazzling Blue and Kathy's Song. Kathy's Song is gorgeous. Oh, it's gorgeous. Number 92 is Dimebag Darrell. So one of modern metal's key figures, Dimebag Darrell, founded Pantera with his brother, drummy Vinnie Paul Abbott, forging a style that combined brutally precise, punk-honed grooves with a splatter paint melodic runs. After he was tragically shot by a deranged fan during a show with his band Damage Plan in 2004, on the anniversary of John Lennon's death, freakishly enough, the tributes rolled in from fans, peers and forerunners. One of the greatest musicians to grace our world, Black Sabbath's Geezer Butler said simply, rest in peace. And the key tracks are Floods, Cemetery Gates and Mouth for War. Whoops. Number 91 is Dave Davis of the Kinks. So you can trace all things loud and riffy right back to the Kinks' Dave Davis, starting with the fantastically simple power chords of You Really Got Me, which he recorded at age 17, setting off a run of proto-metal singles from All Day and All of the Night to Till the End of the Day. Davis, who created the distortion on You Really Got Me by slicing an amp speaker with a razor, has laughed off claims that it was actually played by an uncredited Jimmy Page. You want to play a solo that crazy anyway. Only Dave Davis could do that. Key tracks are You Really Got Me and All Day and All of the Night. Number 90 is Tom Verlaine. So Patti Smith famously described Tom Verlaine's guitar sound as a thousand bluebirds screaming. Television's leader soaked up the flavour of favourite records by John Coltrane, The Stones and The Dead, then synthesised them into something entirely new on the band's 1977 debut, Marquee Moon, spinning out endless fluid solos in concert with fellow guitar aesthete Richard Lloyd. Verlaine has kept a low profile in recent decades, but he remains a model for generations of guitarists with a taste for both punk, violence and melodic flight. So key tracks for Marquee Moon, Little Johnny Jewel and Break In My Heart. Number 89 is Bonnie Raitt. I hope I pronounced her name correctly there. Her dad was Broadway star John Raitt, but Bonnie's artistic parents were blues giants like Howlin' Wolf and Mississippi Fred McDowell, whom she met and performed with early in her career. She learned fast, starting with her acoustic-side workout on 1971's Walking Blues. Raitt rolled out a fearsome repertoire of blues licks, finger-picking with the best, and wielding a slide like an old master. Most of all, she set a crucial precedent. When guitar was still considered a man's game by many, Raitt busted down that barrier through sheer verve and skill. So key tracks are Runaway and Something to Talk About. Number 88 is Carl Perkins. So in the Beatles' early days, George Harrison briefly billed himself as Carl Harrison in honour of his quick-picking hero. Perkins' bright, trebly style, which the Rockabilly King picked up from blues players in Tennessee, defined the singles he put out on Sun Records, which are Blue Suede Shoes and Glad All Over, and influenced scores of players from Eric Clapton to John Fogerty. He took country picking into the rock world, Tom Petty has said. If you want to play 50s rock and roll, you can either play like Chuck Berry or you can play like Carl Perkins. So key tracks are Blue Suede Shoes and Glad All Over. Number 87 is James Hetfield. Yeah, Metallica. So there was precedence for the palm-muted, ultra-percussive chug James Hetfield gave Metallica, Judas Priest and Motorhead, but he made it the gold standard of 80s metal. He's never been a monochromatic headbanger, though, delving early on into the delicate picking of Fade to Black and later embracing the more nuanced hard rock of the Black Album. I wonder if James Hetfield knows how to play the drums, Dave Grohl once said. Because basically he's taking care of the percussion and melody of Metallica's songs with his guitar. And it's great. So key tracks are Seek and Destroy and Master of Puppets. Number 86 is Jay Maskis. I hope I pronounced that correctly. So the massive slabs of rock candy noise that Jay Maskis heaved from his Fender Jazzmaster in Dinosaur Jr. contained multitudes. Black Sabbath Savagery, melodic Neil Young soul, punk rock pig slop. As his recent solo settle, it was then, this is 2015, remember, several shades of Y showed, he can get shamelessly pretty with an acoustic too. I remember seeing Dinosaur play this soft plaintive song, and then it was just completely detonated by this ravaging solo that Jay did, says Sonic Youth Thurston Moore. The whole room was incinerated. So key tracks there are Feel the Pain and Little Fury Things. Number 85 is Andy Summers of The Police. He's very good, actually. The Police were a new kind of power trio, and Andy Summers was the main reason. Quickly moving away from punk, he recast jazz chords and reggae rhythms as headlong rock and roll. Summers played as sparely as possible, constructing clipped twitches or dubby washes of sound, leaving ample room for Sting and Stuart Copeland. His tone and style were just absolutely perfect. He left space around everything, Rush's Alex Lifeson said. And he can handle anything from beautiful acoustic playing to jazz to hybrid kinds of stuff. So key tracks A Message in a Bottle and Every Breath You Take. Number 84 is Joe Perry. It's hard to conceive a better musical foil for Steven Tyler than his longtime partner and occasional adversary. For more than 40 years, Joe Perry's monstrous blues on steroids riffs have been Aerosmith's bedrock. And his solos, jutting out from Walk This Way, or slashing boldly through the high-gloss production of later hits like Janie's Got a Gun and Crying, have a caffeinated energy that's every bit Tyler's match. He had a streamlined style that reminded me of Keith Richards, said Slash, and a careless style that's really cool. So key tracks are Dream On, Walk This Way, and Janie's Got a Gun. Number 83 is Eddie Hazel. So legend has it that Funkadelic's Maggot Brain, the 10-minute solo that turned the late Eddie Hazel into an instant guitar icon, was born when George Clinton told him to imagine hearing his mother had just died, and then learning that she was, in fact, alive. Hazel, who died of liver failure in 1992 at the age of 42, brought a thrilling mix of lysergic vision and groove power to all of his work, inspiring followers like Jay Maskus, Mike McCready, and Lenny Kravitz. That solo, Lord have mercy, says Kravitz of Maggot Brain. He was absolutely stunning. So key tracks are Maggot Brain and Funky Dollar Bill. Number 82 is Nels Klein. So a true guitar polymath, Nels Klein has tackled everything from gothic country rock with the Geraldine Fibbers to a full remake of John Coltrane's late improvisational masterwork, Interstellar Space. He's best known, of course, as Wilco's gangly guitar hero, lurching into extended seizures, or the Spiders' Kid Smoke, or spiralling into lyrical jam flights, so Impossible Germany. Nels can play anything, Jeff Tweedy said. We struggle with his spot in the band sometimes, but we always come to a place that's unique and interesting because we did struggle. So key tracks are Spiders' Kid Smoke and Impossible Germany. Number 81 is Lou Reed. So Lou Reed has been blowing traditional guitar styles to bits since his Velvet Underground days. A fan of Ike Turner's R&B and Ornette Coleman's free jazz, he created epic bad trip psychedelia on songs like Sister Ray. He was rightfully quite proud of his own soloing, wrote fellow New York guitar luminary Robert Quine, but resigned to the fact that most people weren't ready for it. As a solo artist, Reed kept on ripping up the rule book. See 1975's Metal Machine Music, a noise opus that took feedback further than Hendrix could have imagined. So key tracks are Sister Ray, Heroin, and Foggy Notion. Number 80 is Buddy Holly. So Buddy Holly turned a generation of future heroes, George Harrison, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, onto the guitar with an elemental style. An antsy mix of country and blues that merged rhythm and lead. Check the push and tease phrasing on It's So Easy, which echoes Holly's growl and hiccup vocals. Playing a Stratocaster and fronting a double guitar, bass and drum quartet, Holly essentially invented the rock band. Listen to the songs on the first three Beatles albums, says John Mellencamp. Take their voices off, and it's Buddy Holly. So key tracks will be, they are That'll Be the Day and Peggy Sue. Number 79 is Mike Campbell. So Tom Petty's lead guitarist for more than 40 years, Mike Campbell never clutters up a song with notes when two or three bullseyes will suffice. It's a challenge to make your statement in a short amount of time, he has said, but I prefer that challenge as opposed to just stretching out. Listen to the skeletal hook that holds Breakdown together or the laconic tone-bending solo in You've Got Lucky to hear Campbell's ingenious use of negative space. Michael is not one to show off, Petty once said. What he says is essential. So yeah, the key tracks are Breakdown and You Got Lucky. Number 78 is John Faye. John Faye, who died in 2001 at age 61, was American folk guitar's master eccentric a dazzling finger picker who transformed traditional blues forms with the advanced harmonies of modern classical music, then mind that beauty with a prankster's wit. His music speaks of a boundless freedom, says ex-Captain Beefheart guitarist Gary Lucas. In the 90s, Fahey switched to a spiky minimalism on electric guitar that made him a post-punk icon. To be validated by John Fahey, says Thurston Moore, was really special for our scene. So key tracks are Poor Boy and The Yellow Princess. Number 77 is Willie Nelson. Like his conversational singing, Willie Nelson's guitar playing is deceptively laid back, playfully offbeat, and instantly recognisable. Amazingly, Nelson has been playing the same Martin M20 classical guitar, nicknamed Trigger, since 1969. It has defined his sound, a nylon-stabbing mix of country, blues and Django Reinhardt's gypsy jazz. Though the guitar now has a large gaping hole, Nelson still plays it nightly. I've come to believe we were fated for each other, he said. The two of us even look alike. We are both pretty battered and bruised. So key tracks are Whiskey River and Nightlife. Number 76 is Robbie Krieger. So schooled in flamenco and jazz, Robbie Krieger pushed beyond rock at a time when most players were still bound to the blues. In The Doors, he had the improvisatory flair to follow Jim Morrison's Wildest Journeys, wrote some of their biggest hits, Light My Fire was one of them, and picked up the slack in their keyboard drums guitar lineup. Not having a bass player made me play more bass notes to fill out the bottom, he said. Not having a rhythm player also made me play differently, to fill out the sound. I always felt like three players simultaneously. So yeah, key tracks are Riders on the Storm and Roadhouse Blues. Number 75 is Joni Mitchell. The strongest thing I did for Joni as a producer on Song to a Seagull, this is from David Crosby, by the way, from 1968, was to keep everybody else off that record. She was a folkie who had learned to play what they call an indicated arrangement, where you are like a band in the way you approach a chord and string the melody along. She was so new and fresh with how she approached it. It's the reason I fell in love with her music. She was a fantastic rhythm player and growing so fast. She had mastered the idea that she could tune the guitar any way she wanted to get other inversions of the chords. I was doing that too, but she went further. I understood her joy in using bigger tools later, jazz bands, orchestra. But the stuff that she did that was basically her, like 1971's Blue, was her strongest stuff. Match her and Bob Dylan up as poets, and they are in the same ballpark. But she was a much more sophisticated musician. So key tracks are I Had a King, Nathan Lafreniere, Night in the City, Coyote, and A Case of You. Number 74 is Dick Dale. I wanted my guitar to sound like Gene Krupa's drums, Dick Dale said. And the hyper-percussive style he invented for his jukebox wonders, including a juiced-up arrangement of the old Greek tune Miserlou, pioneered the sound of surf rock. Dale played as fast as possible at max volume. Leo Fender once attempted to design an amp that wouldn't be destroyed by Dale's sheer loudness. His arrangements were really complex, really unruly, said Rush's Alex Lifeson. It was all staccato strumming reverb, but with a reverb that just sounded so cool. So key tracks were Miserlou and the Peter Gunn theme. Number 73 is Kurt Cobain. He was no virtuoso, and that's the whole point. By snatching electric guitar from note-shredding technicians and giving it back to artists, freaks and poets, Kurt Cobain became one of the most important players ever. Cobain didn't invent all rock, but with his love of Cheap Trick, the Melvins and Kiss, he gave it the metallic power necessary to conquer the world. His playing wasn't all untutored squall either. See the unconventional chord progression and mastery of Quiet Loud, Quiet Dynamics on Lithium, and pretty much every other Nirvana song. So key tracks are Smells Like Teen Spirit and Scentless Apprentice. Number 72 is John Frusciante. So the Red Hot Chili Peppers always knew how to rock a party. It took John Frusciante to turn them into an arena packing band with a sound they could call their own. Frusciante is a remarkably elastic stylist and a gifted sculptural arranger who pushed the Chili's to explore new worlds without getting in the way of their funk-pumped energy. He beefed up their sound with both well-placed Fire, the volcanic Hendrix-style solo on Danny California, and Remarkable Elegance, the indelible opening chords of Under the Bridge, and indeed they are the two key tracks. Number 71 was Robert Johnson. Or is Robert Johnson? So he was barely known for decades after his 1938 death. But the 29 songs Robert Johnson recorded in 1936 and 1937 became holy writ to rock guitarists from Clapton to Dylan. They were dazzled by the way he made a guitar sound like an ensemble, slide and rhythm parts yelping in dialogue, riffs emerging from the mist. Dylan remembered playing King of the Delta Blues Singers, the 1961 LP that rescued Johnson from obscurity. The vibrations from the loudspeaker made my hair stand up. The stabbing sounds could almost break a window. So key tracks are Rambling on My Mind and Travelling Riverside Blues. And number 70 is Jack White. I think he should be a bit higher, really, but carrying on. By the turn of the century, new metal grinders and post-grunge plodders had given loud guitars a bad reputation. Then Jack White hit the reset button. With each savage riff, he reconnected hard rock and roots music and showed that a blues-based band could escape what he calls note-pushing Stratocaster white blues bullshit. And he didn't let his analog leanings prevent him from ingenious use of a Digitech whammy pedal, the secret behind the faux-based Thunderous Seven Nation Army and the screaming leads of songs like Ball and Biscuit. I love the White Stripes. I love them. I haven't listened to them for a while. I should do. Ball and Biscuit's good. And they indeed are the songs, the key tracks. Number 69 is Richard Thompson. So Richard Thompson has been one of rock's most dazzling stylists since his days with Fairport Convention, a British folk rock band that veered into English traditional music. Shooting out life-affirming riffs amid lyrics that made you want to jump off a bridge, he combined a rock flat pick attack with speedy finger-picking. His electric guitar solos, rooted less in blues than in Celtic music, can be breathtaking. But his acoustic picking is just as killer. No one knows how many tears have been shed by players trying to nail 1952 Vincent Black Lightning. So key tracks are Shoot Out the Lights in the aforementioned 1952 Vincent Black Lightning. Number 68 is John McLaughlin. So John McLaughlin was invited to record with Miles Davis while still in his 20s, co-parenting jazz fusion on Bitches Brew and other Davis LPs. But he achieved guitar god status with his own Mahavishnu Orchestra, where he made his Gibson spit fire like a many-headed dragon. A breakneck stylist, McLaughlin was peerless, mixing psychedelic rock, R&B, gypsy jazz, flamenco and Indian raga techniques. That polyglot mastery earned him huge respect from jazz and rock peers alike. Jeff Beck called him the best guitarist alive. So key tracks are right off in the Noonwood race. Number 67 is T-Bone Walker. So when B.B. King heard T-Bone Walker, he thought Jesus himself had returned to Earth playing electric guitar. Walker invented the guitar solo as we know it, building a new style on fluid phrasing, bluesy bends and vibrato. It was the clear tone and melodic invention of his 1942 single, Mean Old World, that blew everyone's mind, and Walker refined his approach through hits like Call It Stormy Monday. I came into this world a little too soon, Walker said. I'd say that I was about 30 years before my time. So key tracks are Call It Stormy Monday, T-Bone Shuffle and Mean Old World. Number 66 is Leslie West. Oh, Nantucket Sleighride, a fantastic track. So Leslie West, real name Leslie Weinstein, first made his mark in mid-60s garage rock with the Vagrant's meaty cover of Otis Redding's Respect. By 1969, West was the heavy vengeance in the cream-like quartet Mountain. On songs like the 1970 hit Mississippi Queen, West played roughened blues lines with deceiving facility and an R&B flair through a black forest of stressed amp distortion. The riffs were incredible, says Dave Davis. He could play flashy, intricate phrases, but he wasn't a look-at-me guy. He played with feel. And so, yeah, the key tracks of Mississippi Queen and Nantucket Sleigh Ride to Owen Coffin. Number 65 is Slash, so he may have spent much of his Guns N' Roses prime shirtless, drunk and surrounded by snakes, but Slash brought good taste and restraint back to hard rock guitar. It was a stripped-down rock and roll sound compared to what everybody else was doing, said Slash. He could riff like Joe Perry and intertwine Stone style with Izzy Stradlin. And lyrical solos like the From the Mountaintop Grandeur of November Rain were permanently laced into the song's fabric. It's hard to play those solos any other way, says Slash. It will sound wrong. So yeah, Key Track's a sweet child of mine and Welcome to the Jungle. And number 64 is Duane Eddy. Yay, grew up listening to Duane Eddy. Well, one of them. It was very eclectic musical taste. My parents. If there was any doubt left in the late 1950s that the guitar, not the saxophone, was rock and roll's essential lead instrument, Duane Eddy settled the argument. See his 1958 single Rebel Rouser, curled with country twang and rippling with tremolo. Chet Atkins used vibrato in a selective way. Duane Eddy used it to thrash the music, says the Kinks' Dave Davis. The impact of Eddie's hits like 40 Miles of Bad Road and Peter Gunn would soon be heard in surf music and guitarists such as Jeff Beck and George Harrison. So key tracks are Rebel Rouser and Peter Gunn. Number 63 is Johnny Winter. So out of all the hopped up Caucasians who turbocharged the blues in the late 60s, Texas albino Johnny Winter was both the whitest and the fastest. Songs like his 1969 cover of Highway 61 Revisited were astonishing showpieces of his lightning-fast, thumb-picked electric slide playing. Jimi Hendrix sought him out as a sideman, and Muddy Waters recognised his talent at first glance, becoming a friend and collaborator. That guy up there on stage, I got to see him up close, Waters said later. He plays eight notes to my one. So key tracks are I'm Yours and I'm Hers, and Fast Life Rider. Number 62 is Robert Fripp, King Crimson. Yay. So since King Crimson's first rehearsal in 1969, Robert Fripp has been its distinguishing instrumental voice, a singular blend of distorted complexity and magisterial sustain. That duality is best heard on the most progressive prog rock album ever made, Crimson's 1973 thorny metal classic Lark's Tongues in Aspic. Fripp's most famous guitar line is the fuzz siren hook in the title track to David Bowie's Heroes, and Fripp would later start up without even knowing the chord sequence, said producer Brian Eno, adding that Fripp's work. So key tracks are 21st Century, Schizoid Man and Heroes, and we'll continue on with this after the break, folks. I'll see you in a bit.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There was blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Ah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
I'm a little honey on the lone highway, left me for another on the lone highway. They killed dirty Don McGee on the lone highway.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good morning and welcome back to, whoa, I go back at myself then, woohoo, feedback. Anyway, carrying on. Welcome back to the second hour of Sunday, 13th of February, 2022 edition of Willow's Weekend World. My name is Willow Andreas, and also known as Sorry Sunflower in the Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com chat room, And yeah, it's just turned 3 o'clock in the afternoon over here in the UK, which means it's just turned 10 o'clock in the morning. Over on the East Coast, even. 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time, 8 o'clock in the morning Mountain Time, 7 o'clock in the morning West Coast. It's between, I would say, midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning in Australia, and about 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning in New Zealand. But wherever you are in the world, I hope that life is being reasonably kind to you, regardless of the continuing insanity that is enveloping the planet at an ever increasing rate. But I say, just make sure you keep that inner spark of joy ignited, folks. And come and join us in the chat room as well. It'd be good to see you. It'd be good to see you. There's somebody I haven't seen in there for a long time. And hopefully they know I'm thinking it. But, right. We're going to carry on with this list because I'm curious. There's been a few so far where I think they should be a bit higher up. I mean, Lindsay Buckingham, certainly. I think he certainly should have been a bit higher up as Jack White. But let's carry on, shall we? Let's carry on with it. So we got to number 61, and it's Dickie Betts next. So I'm the famous guitar player, the late Duane Allman said, but Dickie is the good one. So two spent less than 3 years together in the Allman Brothers band, but they established an epic rapport, jamming at length, trading solos and playing their famous twin guitar leads. After Allman's death in 1971, the group continued with Betts, scoring with Ramblin' Man and Jessica. For all his blues and slide chops, his roots are in jazz. You can hear the influence of his clean-toned modal soloing in every southern rock group that's followed. So the key tracks are In Memory of Elizabeth Reed and Jessica. Number 60 is Ron Ashton. My part is just a few notes over and over, Iggy Pop once said about the Stooges' song TV Eye. But Ron created a whole world around that. In Ashton's hands, on proto-punk anthems like I Wanna Be Your Dog and No Fun, the classic three-digit bar chord felt more like a super-powered battering ram, droning, relentless, and almost mystical. Ashton, who died in 2009, called it those magical three fingers. You can hear Ashton's wild man approach all over the playing of Kurt Cobain, Thurston Moore, and Jack White. So the key tracks are No Fun, TV Eye, and Yeah, I Wanna Be Your Dog. Number 59 is Robbie Robertson. Oh, I like my Robbie Robertson. I love Robbie Robertson, and he is fabulous. He's a very good guitarist. So when Bob Dylan described the band's Wild Mercury sound, he was really talking about Robbie Robertson's guitar, as exemplified by his torrid, squawking solo on Just Like Tom Thumb's Blues from their 1966 tour. But by the time the band were making their own LPs, Robertson had pared down his approach, evolving into a consummate ensemble player. I wanted to go in the opposite direction, said Robertson, to do things that were so tasteful and discreet and subtle, like Curtis Mayfield and Steve Cropper, where it was all about the song. So key tracks are The Shape I'm In and Like a Rolling Stone, Live 1966. Number 58 is Peter Green, Fleetwood Mac. So in late 1966, Peter Green had the job of replacing Eric Clapton in John Mayall's Blues Breakers. Mayall told his producer, he might not be better than Clapton now, but you wait, he's going to be the best. Soon, with the original Fleetwood Mac, he was Britain's most progressive blues guitarist, with a Chicago-informed aggression heightened by the melodic adventure on albums like 1969's Then Play On. Green soon entered a dark age of mental and health problems, returning in the 90s with more subdued but recognisable gifts. And so key tracks are Albatross and Rattlesnake Shake. Number 57 is Rory Gallagher. Seems a waste to me to work and work for years, Rory Gallagher told Rolling Stone in 1972, and just turn into some sort of personality. Instead, the Irish guitarist, then only 23, became legendary for his non-stop touring ethic and fiery craft. Playing a weathered Strat, often wearing a flannel shirt, Gallagher electrified Chicago and Delta styles with scalding slide work and hard-boiled songwriting. His band included The Edge and Bob Dylan, who was initially turned away backstage at a 1978 show because Gallagher didn't recognise him. So key tracks are Bullfrog Blues, Laundromat and Walk on Hot Coals. Number 56 is Albert Collins. In 1968, Jimi Hendrix talked about his love for a Houston blues luminary who wasn't known outside the region. There's one cat I'm still trying to get across to people. He is really good, one of the best guitarists in the world. Albert Collins, who died of lung cancer in 1993, played with his thumb and forefinger instead of a pick to put a muscular snap into his piercing trebly solos. His fluid, inventive playing influenced Hendrix, sometimes overtly. Jimmy liked Collins' sustain in the song Collins Shuffle so much that he used it on Voodoo Chile, or Voodoo Child, so key tracks are Frosty and Snow Cone Part 1. Number 55 is John Lennon. When Rolling Stone founder Jan S. Venner asked John Lennon how he rated himself as a guitarist, Lennon replied, I'm not technically good, but I can make it effing howl and move. I was rhythm guitarist. It's an important job. I can make a band drive. It is, and he did. Lennon was the Beatles' spark plug and bloodletter, often adding rawness to pristine pop songs. Listen to the airborne strums at Power Help, the circular riffage of Day Tripper, or the deceptively sloppy The Ballad of John and Yoko, where, with George Harrison away on holiday, Lennon turned rudimentary lead and rhythm lines into sharp-toothed magic. He was also capable of generating a truly ferocious tone. in the live promo clip for Revolution, Lennon makes his hollow body Epiphany Casino screech like a very angry lawnmower. Still, he didn't get his due as a guitarist in the Beatles' heyday. They call George the invisible singer, Lennon said. I am the invisible guitar player. So key tracks were Help, Day Tripper, and Your Blues. I'm just checking something out. Hopefully I can be heard still. Just confirm you can hear me still, folks. Because the thing is, I've got hearing problems sometimes, and yeah, I can hear it again now. Number 54 is Joe Walsh. So in Cleveland power trio The James Gang, Joe Walsh combined Who Style Fury with Yardbird style technical fireworks and R&B crunch, notably on 1970s Funk Number 49. The humour in Walsh's bluesy facility came out in the Talk Box Flight and his 73 solo hit Rocky Mountain Way. But it was when he joined the Eagles in 1975 that he truly lodged himself on classic rock radio. Walsh brought a hard rock edge to the Eagles' easygoing pop songs, creating a series of indestructible licks in the process. See his staccato snarl riff in Life in the Fast Lane and his elegant aggression in the dueling guitar section of Hotel California. Walsh influenced the Who's 1971 classic Who's Next, although he didn't play a note on it. He gave Pete Townshend, as a gift, the 1959 Gretsch Chet Atkins guitar that Townshend played all over that album. Townshend later repaid the favour while talking to Rolling Stone in 1975. Joe Walsh is a fluid and intelligent player. There's not many like that around. And the two key tracks are Rocky Mountain Way and Funk Number 49. Number 53 is Otis Rush. So in Chicago in the 60s, the rules have been laid down for young white blues bands like Mike Bloomfield told Rolling Stone in 1968. You had to be as good as Otis Rush. That wasn't easy. A Mississippi native who moved to the Windy City in the late 40s, Rush was a fearsome electric guitarist with a gritty treble tone and lacerating attack, like a gunslinging cross of Muddy Waters and B.B. King, as well as a knockout songwriter. Along with guitarists like Magic Sam and Buddy Guy, Rush helped create the more modernized R&B-influenced approach to Chicago blues that came to be known as the West Side Sound. Rush's impact on later generations was enormous. His late 50s and early 60s singles were go-to covers for Led Zeppelin, I Can't Quit Your Baby, John Mayall, All Your Love, I Miss Loving, and the Jay Giles band Homework, while Stevie Ray Vaughan named his band after Rush's lethal 58 lament, Double Trouble. So the key tracks are I Can't Quit Your Baby and, yeah, Double Trouble. Number 52 is Clarence White. So Clarence White helped shape two genres. His acoustic flat picking, first displayed as a teenager when he and his brother formed the Kentucky Colonels band, was key in making the guitar a lead instrument in bluegrass. Later, he set the stage for country rock and transferred that dynamic precision and melodic symmetry to the electric guitar. A top session man in the 60s, he played on the Byrds' 1968 landmark Sweetheart of the Rodeo. After he joined the band later that year, White brought a full-bodied rock elation to his California-inflected Nashville chops. He never played anything that sounded vaguely weak, said the Byrds leader Roger McGuinn. He was always driving into the music. White had returned to bluegrass with the acclaimed Mule Skinner album when he was killed by a drunk driver in 1973. He was 29. Clarence was immersed in hard country and bluegrass, said Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. He incorporated those elements into rock and roll, and it totally blew people's minds. So the key tracks are Time Between, This Wheel's on Fire, and Chestnut Mare. Number 51 is Johnny Marr. The Smiths guitarist was a guitar genius for the post-punk era. Not a showboating soloist, but a technician who could sound like a whole band. As a kid studying Motown records, Johnny Marr would try to replicate not just guitar riffs, but piano and strings too, all with his right hand. His voluptuous arpeggios, often played on a chiming Rickenbacker with incredible flow and detailing, were every bit as essential to the Smiths' signature sound as Morrissey's baritone. And he was a tireless explorer. For 1983's This Charming Man, Marr dropped knives into a 54 Telecaster, a revelatory incident that Radiohead may have been alluding to in their Smiths-inspired Knives Out. He was a brilliant rhythm player. Rarely played solos, so full of sound, said Radiohead's Ed O'Brien, part of an entire generation of British guitarists who took their cues from Marr. I've been in the studio with him, and there's nothing he cannot do on guitar, said Oasis's Noel Gallagher. The man's an effing wizard. So key tracks are There Are This Charming Man and How Soon Is Now. We're now up to number 50. I'm determined to get through all these. And it's Ritchie Blackmore. So best known for his gargantuan riff at the heart of Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water, Ritchie Blackmore helped define heavy metal guitar by mixing intricate classical composition with raw-knuckled blues rock. I found the blues too limiting and classical was too disciplined, he said. I was always stuck in a musical no-man's land. Blackmore made waves on 1972's Machine Head. His solos on the boogie rocker Highway Star and Lazy remain models of metal pyrotechnics. He looked back toward early European music with his next band, Rainbow, even learning cello to write 1976's Stomping Stargazer, and now explores Renaissance-style fingerpicking with Blackmore's Night. But it's his Deep Purple work that influenced a generation of headbangers. Blackmore epitomised this fascination I had with the bare essence of rock and roll, this element of danger, says Metallica's Lars Ulrich. Deep Purple, in their finest moments, were more unpredictable than Black Sabbath or Led Zeppelin. So key tracks are Smoke on the Water, Highway Star and Speed King. Number 49 is Muddy Waters. And this is Derek Trucks who's written this about him. So Muddy was there at the beginning in the Delta, actually sitting at the feet of Charlie Patton and Sunhouse. He was a kid when those guys were in their prime. Then he electrified it. There was a physicality in the way he played the guitar. Percussive, like a drum. When he plays slide, it's not on the high strings. It's lower, guttural, and it sounds like he's about to rip the strings off. I was already a Muddy fan, the Muddy of Chess Records, when I heard his Library of Congress recordings, captured by Alan Lomax in 1941 and 1942. They caught Muddy so young, when he was a complete unknown, maybe self-conscious and shy, listening back to his voice for the first time. There is something vulnerable about it, but also fully formed. For slide players in the Delta, it was a call and response thing with themselves. The slide would take the other voice, like a female voice in a choir. Muddy carried it right on through to Chicago. There are Muddy licks, Ritchie would play over turnarounds that were unique to him. You can hear some Muddy licks in Hendrix's playing. Later on, as Muddy got older, he played guitar less and less. But when he did jump in, you knew it. He had Buddy Guy and Jimmy Rogers in his bands. But when you played with Muddy, you didn't play what he did, because that shit was covered. And so key tracks are Rolling Stone and Manish Boy. Number 48 is Johnny Greenwood. I'm hoping I'm going to get through this list, so I might have to abbreviate a little bit, folks. What I'm going to have to do, I think, looking at the time, is read out the band. Then, as I say, if I can get down to number 20, I'm going to have to do this to get down to number 20. So number 48 is Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead. Admired by Rush's Alex Lifeson, and key tracks to note of his playing are Creep, Paranoid, Android and My Iron Lung. Number 47 is Stephen Stills of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, and key tracks to note there are Bluebird, Carry On and Go Back Home. Number 46 is Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. Seen him live, absolutely brilliant. It was a fun evening, really was. The Dead are a family band. I mean, they just, it was a relaxed concert, and it really, I mean, Jerry Garcia is a life and soul. He really was. It's a fabulous evening. And, Carlos Santana has spoken about him in this as well, how much of an influence he was. He had a tremendous sense of purpose. And yeah, fun player. He's known today. He's a fun player. And key tracks are Dark Star, Sugary, and Casey Jones. They are better live, actually. to say, it's I have listened to their studio offerings, and they're a far better band live. I mean, because they like the freedom that live music can offer, the improvisational space to breathe. Number 45 is Link Ray. Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen paid tribute to him when he died in 2005. And Pete Townsend actually said if it wasn't for Link Ray, he wouldn't have picked up a guitar. So key tracks are Rumble, Jack the Ripper and Rawhide. Number 44 is Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits. He is a very good guitarist. He very much in demand for as a musician back in the 80s as well. Key tracks are Sultans of Swing and Romeo and Juliet. Number 43 is Hubert Sumlin. He played alongside Howlin' Wolf, a junior blues musician. Key tracks are Smokestack Lightning, Spoonful and Killing. Number 42 is Mike Bloomfield. He died in 1981 of drug overdose at the age of 37. And it was Bloomfield who helped Bob Dylan go electric back in the 60s. Key tracks are East West, Like a Rolling Stone, and Groovin' is Easy. Number 41 is Mick Ronson, who obviously played with David Bowie in the Ziggy Stardust days. Very much influenced other musicians as well. Key tracks are The Width of a Circle and Suffragette City. Number 40 is Tom Morello, Rage Against the Machine. And key tracks to note there are Guerrilla Radio and Killing in the Name. Number 39 is Steve Cropper. Steve Cropper played with Booker T and the MGs. And he was a big influence on Peter Buck, and key tracks are Sitting on the Dock of the Bay and Green Onions and Soul Man. 38 is The Edge from U2. And yeah, I like The Edge. I like The Edge. And Daniel Lanois, who's one of their producers, has written about him here. And key tracks are I Will Follow, Pride in the Name of Love, and The Fly. Number 37 is Mick Taylor, who was briefly in the Rolling Stones. And key tracks are Can't You Hear Me Knocking and All Down the Line. Number 36 is Randy Rhoads. Died in a plane accident at the age of 25 in 1982. He was played hyperspeed solos on Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley. And Ozzy has indeed apparently said that Randy helped him to salvage his career. So, yeah, key tracks are Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley, and Diary of a Madman. Number 35 is John Lee Hooker. Great rhythm and blues. And, yeah, Keith Richards was inspired by him. And Carlos Santana was as well. Key tracks are Boogie Chillin', Boom Boom, and I'm in the Mood. Number 34 is Curtis Mayfield. Key tracks are Gypsy Woman, Move On Up, and Freddy's Dead. Yeah, he's good, actually. Number 33 is Prince. He's that low down. Prince is that low down. Number 33. Well, I thought he would be higher up than that. But anyway, so yeah, Prince. I mean, what can you say about Prince? I mean, I love Prince. I mean, absolutely brilliant musician. And I couldn't name a favourite guitar solo of his. I mean, they're all good. So yeah, key tracks are Purple Rain, Kiss, and When Doves Cry. Number 32 is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. And key tracks are Jesus Left Chicago and LaGrange. Number 31 is Ry Cooda. He played with Captain Beefheart. And, he's played with Randy Newman, Rolling Stones, and Eric Clapton as well. So Key Tracks, a memo from Turner and Boomer's story. Number 30 is Elmore James. Blues guitarist. Key Tracks, of Dust My Broom and the Sky is Crying. And number 29 is Scotty Moore. Who played guitar with Elvis Presley back in the 50s. Key Tracks are That's All Right, Mystery Train and Heartbreak Hotel. Number 28 is Johnny Ramone of the Ramones, and key tracks here, they say, are Blitzkrieg Bop, Judy is a Punk and Rockaway Beach. Number 27 is Bo Diddley. Again, I would have thought he would have been a bit higher up, but Key Tracks of Bo Diddley, Roadrunner, and Who Do You Love? I like the Who Do You Love. It's very good. Number 26 is Brian May of Queen. I would have actually put him higher up. They're saying probably the only guitarist to get a degree in astrophysics. Of course, his guitar is the Red Special, which he built with his father in the 60s. And he's of Queen. Key Tracks are Keep Yourself Alive and Brighton Rock. Number 25 is Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath. And Brent Hines of Mastodon has written something of a respectful recollection of him here on Rolling Stone. Key Tracks are Iron Man, Sabra Cadabra, and Children of the Grave. Number 24 is Angus Young of AC/DC. He said he didn't regard himself as a soloist. And Key Tracks are Highway to Hell and Bad Boy Boogie. Number 23 is Buddy Guy. Blues musician. Good friend of Eric Clapton's as well, played with Eric Clapton. And Key Tracks are Stone Crazy, First Time I Met the Blues. Number 22 is Frank Zappa. Of course, he's a Mother's Invention. And Key Tracks are Willie the Pimp and Inner Gadda Stravinsky. Number 21 is Chet Atkins, who invented the Popwise Nashville sound that rescued country music from a commercial slump. Key Tracks are Your Cheatin' Heart, Wake Up Little Susie. Number 20 is Carlos Santana, who Prince called him a bigger influence than Jimi Hendrix. He says Santana played prettier. Key Tracks are Black Magic Woman, Oye Como Va, and Soul Sacrifice. Right, I'm going to see if I can get down to the top 10. So number 19 is James Burton. Joined Ricky Nelson's band in 1957, and he goes on tours today. He's played with a lot of influential musicians as well, Joni Mitchell, Gram Parsons, and Key Tracks are Hello Mary Lou, Susie Q, Believe What You Say. Number 18 is Les Paul. He's a genius who invented the solid body guitar that bears his name, but he was also, I've heard that he was a very, very good player. And shortly before his death at the age of 94, he was still playing, and this is back in 2009, he was still playing weekly gigs at the New York Jazz Club. Richie Sambora loved his work. Key Tracks is How High the Moon, Vaya Con Dios, and Tiger Rag. Number 17 is Neil Young, who, even though, I mean, regardless of what his politics and what has happened in recent times, can't deny he's a very good guitarist. Key Tracks are Down by the River and Mr. Soul. Number 16 is Derek Trucks of the Allman Brothers Family. And the Key Tracks are Joyful Noise, Whipping Post, One Way Out version. They mention. Number 15 is Freddie King. Influenced Eric Clapton, loved him, as did Peter Green, Jeff Beck, and Mick Taylor. And his Key Tracks are Hideaway, Have You Ever Loved a Woman, and The Stumble. Number 14 is David Gilmour. Oh, come on. He should be higher up. No. He should be way, way up there, should David Gilmour. Come on. Come on, guys. Pink Floyd. I talked about Pink Floyd the other week, so it's... So key tracks are comfortably numb. I mean, I've heard him. I've heard that. I've heard him live. He is just transports you to heaven. Seriously, and Shine On You Crazy Diamond. I'd say there's some better guitar work than that, but comfortably numb certainly. Number 13 is Albert King. Also blues. And Eric Clapton, of course, lifted the strange blues solo from King. And Duane Allman turned the melody of Kings as the years go passing by into the main riff of Layla. So key tracks were Born Under a Bad Sign and As the Years Go Passing By. Number 12 is Stevie Ray Vaughan, who he died in 1990 in a helicopter crash, and he's inspired generations of guitarists from Mike McCready to John Mayer. Key tracks are Love Struck, Baby, Cold Shot and Look at Little Sister. And number 11 is George Harrison. From the Beatles. Tom Petty loved George Harrison. Of course, they played together. Oh, gosh, what's the name of the group? Somebody tell me in the chat room. Do you know it's just gone from my head? Traveling Wilburys. There you go. It's just come back. Key tracks where I saw her standing there in something. So we've got to the top 10 now. Do I have time for the top 10 or should I have to take it down to the top, number 5, I think. So number 10 is Pete Townshend from The Who. He was influenced by European avant-garde music like Stockhausen. I've got to start listening to some more Stockhausen. And somebody's saying, you know, this Andy Summers has written about him here. And says that he was like the original punk, the first one to destroy guitar on stage. Key tracks of My Generation, I Can See for Miles and Summertime Blues. Number 9 is Duane Allman. And Robert Randolph has written something about Duane Allman. And yes, of course, he was the one who played the intro to Layla. Or played Layla. And so, yeah, key tracks, The States for Blues, Whipping Post and Blue Sky. Number 8 is Eddie Van Halen, or Van Halen, who was inspired by Steve Hackett, actually, of Genesis. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam has written up a glowing recollection of how he has influenced him. And key tracks for Eruption, Ain't Talking About Love and Hot for Teacher. Number 7 is Chuck Berry. Keith Richards, of course, has written this. So it would have to be Keith Richards, wouldn't it? Because, of course, Chuck Berry was his biggest influence. And key tracks are Johnny B. Good, Maybelline and Roll Over Beethoven. And number 6 is B.B. King. Again, another good friend of Clapton's. And Billy Gibbons has written up the how he has influenced him as well on this. And the key tracks are 3 O'Clock Blues, The Thrill Is Gone and Sweet Little Angel. So we got to the top 5, so I'm going to read through this top 5. I'm hoping I can get through to the guitar solos, but if I can't, I'm just going to have to, well, I'm just going to have to whiz through them, aren't I? But the, number 5 is Jeff Beck. So Jeff Beck has a, this is from Mike Campbell of The Heartbreakers here. So Jeff Beck has a combination of brilliant technique with personality. It's like he's saying, I'm Jeff Beck, I'm right here, and you can't ignore me. Even in the Yardbirds, he had a tone that was melodic but in your face. Bright, urgent and edgy, but sweet at the same time. You could tell he was a serious player and he was going for it. He was not holding back. There is a real artistry to playing with and around a vocalist, answering and pushing him. That's the beauty of those two records he made with Rod Stewart, 1968's Truth and 1969's Beckola. Jeff is not getting in the way, but he's holding his own. And he stretched the boundaries of the blues. Beck's Bolero, on Truth, is unbluesy, but still blues-based. One of my favourite tracks is a cover of Howlin' Wolf's I Ain't Superstitious, on Truth. There is a sense of humour, that wah-wah growl. I don't know if Clapton plays with the same sense of humour, as great as he is. Jeff definitely got that. When he got into his fusion phase, the cover of Stevie Wonder's Because We Ended as Lovers on Blow by Blow got me immediately. The tone was so pure and delicate. It's like there was a vocalist singing, but there was a guitar making all of the notes. Saw him last year at a casino in San Diego, and the guitar was the voice. You didn't miss a singer because the guitar was so lyrical. There was a spirituality and confidence in him, a commitment to being great. After I saw that show, I went home and started practicing. Maybe that's what I took from him. If you want to be Jeff Beck, do your homework. So that's, yeah, Mike Campbell of the Heartbreakers. Key tracks of Beck's Bolero, Freeway Jam, A Day in the Life, I Ain't Superstitious, and Heart Full of Soul. Number four is Keith Richards. And this is Nils Lofgren of the E Street Band who's written this. So I remember being in junior high school, hearing Satisfaction and being freaked out by what it did to me. It's a combination of the riff and the chords moving underneath it. Keith wrote 2- and 3-note themes that were more powerful than any great solo. He played the vibrato rhythm and the lead guitar in Gimme Shelter. I don't think anyone has ever created a mood that dark and sinister. There is a clarity between those two guitars that leaves this ominous space for Mick Jagger to sing through. Nobody does alternate tunings better than Keith. I remember playing the chorus to Beast of Burden. I'm like, these are the right chords, but they don't sound anything like Keith. He had some cool tuning, a beautiful chord so well tuned that it sings. That is the core of every great guitar part on a Rolling Stones record. Keith finds a tuning that allows the work, the fretting, muting strings, to get out of the way of what he's feeling. I went to see Keith with the expensive winos. In the dressing room, Keith started practicing a Chuck Berry riff. I've never in my life heard it sound like that. I love Chuck Berry, but this was better. Not technically. It was an emotional content that spoke to me. What Chuck is to Keith, Keith is to me. And key tracks, I Can't Get No Satisfaction and Gimme Shelter. Number three is Jimmy Page. Another Epsom boy like Jeff Beck. And this is written by Joe Perry. Listening to what Jimmy Page does on guitar can transport you. As a lead player, he always plays the right thing for the right spot. He's got such remarkable taste. The solo on Heartbreaker has such incredible immediacy. He's teetering on the edge of his technique, and it's still a showstopper. You can't look at just his guitar playing on its own. You have to look at what he did with it in the studio and how he used it in the songs he wrote and produced. Jimmy built this incredible catalogue of experience on the Yardbirds and doing session work, so when he did the first Led Zeppelin record, he knew exactly what kind of sound he wanted to get. He had this vision of how to transcend the stereotypes of what the guitar can do. If you follow the guitar on the song remains the same all the way through, it evolves through so many different changes. Louder, quieter, softer, louder again. He was writing the songs, playing them, producing them. I can't think of any other guitar player since Les Paul that can claim that. And so key tracks are Dazed and Confused, Heartbreaker and Cashmere. So number two is Eric Clapton. Eddie Van Halen has written this one. So Eric Clapton is basically the only guitar player who influenced me, even though I don't sound like him. There was a basic simplicity to his playing, his style, his vibe and his sound. He took a Gibson guitar and plugged it into a Marshall, and that was it. The basics, the blues. His solos were melodic and memorable, and that's what guitar solos should be, part of the song. I could hum them to you. What I really liked was Cream's live recordings, because you could hear the three guys playing. If you listen to I'm So Glad on Goodbye, you really hear the three guys go. And Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker were a couple of jazz guys, pushing Clapton forward. I once read that Clapton said, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. He was just trying to keep up with the other two guys. After Cream, he changed. When he started doing I Shot the Sheriff, and this and that, when he'd hooked up with Delaney and Bonnie, his whole style changed. Or at least his sound. He focused more on singing than playing. I respect him for everything he's done and is still doing. But what inspired me, what made me pick up a guitar, was his early stuff. I could play some of those solos now. They're permanently imprinted in my brain. That blues-based sound is still the core of modern rock guitar. So key tracks are Bell Bottom Blues, Crossroads and White Room. And of course, number one is Jimi Hendrix. So this is written by Tom Morello. Jimi Hendrix exploded our idea of what rock music could be. He manipulated the guitar, the whammy bar, the studio and the stage. On songs like Machine Gun or Voodoo Chili, his instrument is like a divining rod of the turbulent 60s. You can hear the riots in the streets and napalm bombs dropping in his star-spangled banner. His playing was effortless. It was effortless, rather. There's not one minute of his recorded career that feels like he's working hard at it. Feels like it's all flowing through him. The most beautiful song of the Jimi Hendrix canon is Little Wing. It's just this gorgeous song that, as a guitar player, you can study your whole life and not get down, never get inside it the way he does. He seamlessly weaves chords and single note runs together and uses chord voicings that don't appear in any music book. His riffs were a pre-metal funk bulldozer. His lead lines were an electric LSD trip down to the crossroads where he pimp-slapped the devil. There are arguments about who was the first guitar player to use feedback. It doesn't really matter because Hendrix used it better than anyone. He took what was to become 70s funk and put it through a Marshall stack in a way that nobody's done since. It's impossible to think of what Jimmy would be doing now. He seemed like a pretty mercurial character. Would he be an elder statesman of rock? Would he be Sir Jimi Hendrix? Or would he be doing some residency off the Vegas Strip? The good news is his legacy is assured as the greatest guitar player of all time. And key tracks are Purple Haze, Foxy Lady, The Star Spangled Banner and Hey Joe. There's a couple of people omitted from this list, and one is Steve Hackett of Genesis and Mike Oldfield. Severely underrated guitarist, actually, Oldfield. I mean, one of the... there you go. I'll just share that there in the chat room. But the... I remember this now. My sister was one of these people who, in these modern PC days, she just wouldn't get on. She thought it. She said it. But there's an album of Oldfield's called Omadorn. I've spoken of it before. It's one of my favourite albums of his, and I'd say it's probably better than Tubular Bells. And unfortunately, Mike Oldfield was going through a little bit of a tough time personally at that point, and he suffered a nervous breakdown during the recording of the album. And on the first side, you can actually hear that pain coming through his guitar. If you want to hear a guitar weep and wail, you listen to that. You can hear what he is going through his guitar. And my sister once said, I'd have a nervous breakdown to write an album that good. I recommended him, and why he's not on the list, I don't know. He is severely underrated. But I think we're going to have time. We are going to have just about enough time to... I agree, man. I think we're going to have enough time just to have a quick look at the greatest guitar solos. I may not be able to go into anything sort of in too in-depth here. This is from Guitar Player. And it was voted for by their readers. Posted up on December 25th last year. So it's fairly recent. So number 20 is Gary Moore's Still Got the Blues. That was from 1990. So what I'm going to do is see if I can get down to the top, at least the top five. Number 19 is Metallica's Fade to Black. The guitarist is Kirk Hammett. That's in 1984. And it's their first ballad. It features some of Kirk's most epic playing, it says. It's recorded in Copenhagen. February, March 1984. Number 18 is Steely Dan's Kid Charlemagne. Guitarist is Larry Carlton. It was recorded in 1976. I've not heard that one. I had to listen to it. Number 17 is Crossroads by Cream. Guitarist, of course, is Eric Clapton. Recorded in 1968. And it says the finest rock and roll cover of an acoustic blues song. It started as a blues tune called Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson. Number 16 is Eric Johnson's Cliffs of Dover. That was from 1990. He's from Texas, but is Eric Johnson. And number 15 is Prince's Purple Rain. From 1984, the purple one's defining guitar moment, it says. And yeah, it's saying here he would extend the solo for up to 15 minutes in live performance. Another one who could make his guitar sing was Prince. Much missed. Missed Prince immensely. He had if Prince had a delicate sense of humour, actually. I think it was just, people didn't pick up on it. You listen to some of his early tracks, and he's got a wicked sense of humour. Number 14 is Deep Purple's Highway Star. Guitarist, of course, is Ritchie Blackmore. That was recorded in 1972. It says, Race with Devil on English Highway. If it was the M25, mind you, it wasn't around in 1972, so I was going to say, are we able to race anywhere on there? Number 13 is Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. Of course, Slash is the guitarist. It was recorded in 1988. And number 12 is Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train. And the guitarist is Randy Rhoads, of course. This was recorded in 1980. And it says, fretboard fireworks galore on Ozzy's Blizzard of Oz comeback. Number 11 is Michael Jackson's Beat It. Guitarist is Eddie Van Halen. And that's from 1982. Indeed, everybody's saying it was an unlikely pairing. And initially, Pete Townsend was asked. He suggested Eddie Van Halen. Number 10 is The Beatles' While My Guitar Gently Weaves. Eric Clapton again, 1968. And, he made an appearance there with the Fab Four. He was a good friend of George Harrison's. Number nine is Chicago's 25 or 64. Guitarist is Terry Kath. This was recorded in 1969. And I haven't listened to this one for a while. Number eight is Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird. And the guitarist is Alan Collins. It's recorded in 1974. Number seven is Dire Straits' Sultans of Swing. Guitarist is Mark Knopfler. That was Sultans of Swing was from 70s, wasn't it? 77, 78? Number six is Jimi Hendrix Experience's All Along the Watchtower, recorded in 1968. Bob Dylan, a cover of Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower. Number five is Eagles Hotel California. Guitarists were Don Felder and Joe Walsh from 1977. So those iconic twin guitar harmony lines took the Eagles to new heights. The title track from the Eagles' fifth album, and without doubt the song the band will be most remembered for, Hotel California, frequently tops greatest guitar solo polls. Solo begins at 4:20, forming an extended coda over which guitarists Don Felder and Joe Walsh trade licks before joining together to play those iconic harmonized licks at 5:39. As it turns out, those harmony lines work in a relatively simple fashion. Felder and Walsh play an arpeggio of every chord, and the harmony is created by one of the guitars, always playing one note lower down in the chord. Nuggets of information can take you a long way to mastering those descending arpeggios because it details what the chords are. We won't go as far as to say you could easily work it out by ear, but if you know the chords to the song, it's possible to jam along, if you can't say that about many of the solos on this list. Number four is Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, and that's Brian May. It's a guitarist from 1975. Might just be the biggest rock song of all time, is the comment. So following Freddie Mercury's 1991 death and a cameo moment in 1992's Wayne's World, Bohemian Rhapsody became a trigger point for a worldwide outpouring of affection and respect for Queen. Their renewed popularity would continue into the new millennium as Ben Elton's We Will Rock You musical, and the band's discovery of a different way to exist behind frontman Adam Lambert, brought their music to a new generation. And Bohemian Rhapsody? Unsurprisingly, it's Queen's best-known song, and its brief nine-bar solo is a short and sweet musical interlude, bridging the verses to lead into what's become known as the song's operatic section. Those two words alone should warn you that this song shouldn't work. There's no chorus and, aside from two verses, no repetition. But of course it does work, and Brian May's solo is the perfect melodic break. His phrasing is loose and natural, moving across the backbeat rather than sticking to a rigidly timed grid. The fastest licks are expressive bursts rather than repetitive noodling, and his articulate pre-bend and vibrato technique demonstrates his beautiful touch. Somehow, within the confines of the complex structure of Bohemian Rhapsody, the solo is made to order. Number three is Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. Guitarist is Jimmy Page, recorded in 1971. So from the moment Jimmy Page plays the opening run on his 59 Fender Telecaster, right through to the flurry of notes and the wailing bend that he completes it, this is guitar solo perfection, a masterpiece of composition. Rather than wander aimlessly, Page creates a song within a song. The opening phrases set the scene, as he adds notes to the pentatonic scale to follow the song's final chord progression. A rapid mid-solo repeating lick raises the bar before a game of question and answer, where the haunting overdubbed guitar leads into that last flurry and bend. As we say, it's all about the composition. Licks that track the chord changes, the contour of the melody, and the pacing of the widdly bits all take the listener on a journey. Three takes were recorded. The other two allegedly still survive, presumably locked in a Led Zeppelin vault somewhere, all of them improvised, although Page has reportedly said that he had worked out the opening line. But while we were all certainly curious to hear those solos, let's face it, not going to be any better than the one we've come to know and love all these years. Number two is Van Halen's Eruption, and the chorus guitarist is Eddie Van Halen, which was recorded in 1978. So with its mix of fast legato hammer-ons and pull-offs, pitched harmonics, whammy bar dives and two-hand tapping, Eddie Van Halen's mind-blowing instrumental guitar solo inspired a generation of guitar heroes. While the tapping gets the attention, his tone, blistering legato and creative note choices are all equally important. Amid all that virtuosity, Eddie still played with joyous rock and roll abandon. Remarkably, Ed was never completely happy with the released recording. "I didn't even play it right," he told Guitar World. "There's a mistake at the top end of it. Whenever I hear it, I always think, man, I could have played it better." His admission aside, the track is a technical opus. The first eight bars are of bluesy affair, whose virtuoso legato licks perhaps recall the mojo of Jimmy Page's breakdown solo in Led Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love. It's a theme Eddie develops over the following eight bars, taking notes from the major and minor pentatonic scales to add chromatics. His tapping finale is probably one of the least understood solo sections in rock history. Eddie's taps are not always on the beat, which makes for tricky timing changes as he switches from tapping the first and fourth sextuplet notes to the third and sixth notes. From start to end, Eruption is a masterpiece that would take most guitarists a lifetime to perfect. And number one is Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. And David Gilmour is a guitarist. This is from 1979. I have heard this live twice. It takes you to, I'm telling you, it transports you to heaven. Powerful. So it's easy to see why our readers made Comfortably Numb the number one pick in our poll. But the real question is, which of the song's solos qualifies for inclusion? The fact that Gilmour came up with both on the same track is simply inspired, and all the more reason to support its position at the top. The tone is legendary. Gilmour's iconic black Strat, then featuring a DiMarzio SS1 bridge pickup into a high-watt DR103 with the essential EHX Ram's Head Big Muff pedal. The FS1's fatness and the Big Muff smoothness leave no hint of the harsh treble that can plague Strats. With some extra help from NMXR Dynacomp, Gilmour had so much sustain that he could hold notes as long as he wanted. As in his live rig, he combined a WEM 4x12 cab with the Yamaha rotary speaker lower in the mix to add subtle modulation. The epic delay was added in the mix. The first solo in D major uses the Strat's neck and bridge pickups together, permitted by a custom switching arrangement. His phrasing here is the more unconventional of the two, with arpeggios and sliding passages. Gilmour's use of the barb of vibrato, aided by its shortened tremolo arm, again distinguishes him from typical bluesers, inspiring many a fusion player in the process. He rakes into the beginning of many of the phrases, similar to Brian May, extracting all the excitement he can from every note. By comparison, the outro solo's licks are more standard, with phrases similar to Hendrix's. The passages at 4:57 and 5:12 could be from All Along the Watchtower or Foxy Lady, but in this epic track, few listeners would make the connection. It sounds both masterful and improvised at the same time. Gilmour has explained he created this impression by recording five or six takes and compiling the finished solo from the best bits of each. The result is stunningly well written, with a combination of repetition and development that keeps the excitement building for 2 minutes. The Hendrix Star Blues Lick returns at 5:27, longer and more intricate than before. The aggressive double stops first appear at 5:15, and by 5:35, he has turned that idea into a motif. So for the climax, Gilmour shoots up an octave just when it seems he's wrung every inch of expression from his maple neck. He descends back down the neck, incorporating one of his spectacular three-fret bends on the way, and finishes with another take on that double-stop motif. It has all the excitement of an improvised performance, and all the structure of a careful composition. Both solos share brilliant rhythmic awareness. Gilmour uses triplets, sextuplets, 16th and 32nd notes freely, within the same phrase. And check out the effect at 5:10 when he plays a lick in 16th notes, and then immediately repeats and expands in sextuplets. A good solo can have great tone, rhythms, melody, or expression, but only a work of rare brilliance features them all to this degree. So there you go. I'll share that one there in the chat room. As I say, poetry is going to have to be deferred to next week, folks. I'm sorry I couldn't get through the entire list in detail, but hopefully that's whetted your guitar appetite. We're coming up to the top of the hour now, folks. I'm going to tell you what's going to be going on the station for the rest of the day. We'll start with this studio because I'm on it. Coming up after me at 11 a.m. Eastern will be Lizzie with Spirit Talk with Lizzie. Following Lizzie at midday Eastern will be Ron Stevens with Rock the Boat. Following Ron at 2 p.m. Eastern will be Yolinsky with Bridges Well, Healing with the Elements of Life. After Yolinsky at 4 p.m. will be Dr. Johnny with the Master Survivor Beyond PhD. Next live show on B will be at 8 p.m. Eastern, which is Stephen Crawford with the Red Pill. And rounding off the evening here on B at 10 p.m. Eastern will be Why Not and Scott for the answers. Over on Studio A shortly will be the station's GMA Mad Painter with a mad look at reality. Following Painter at 3 p.m. will be Robert Morningstar with the Morningstar Report, Sounds of New York City and Cognitive Resonance. Roe will be on at 5 p.m. with the Roe Lounge. Following Roe at 6 p.m. will be Mike the Rebel Madman Gaddy with Addicted to Our Own Destruction. Following Mike at 8 p.m. will be the Watchman with Watchman on the Wall. And rounding off the evening on A will be Bill Grant with Dreamer. Now, seeing in the day on A will be Keith Roberts with Keith AZ live at Midnight Eastern, and over the other side of the studio wall at the same time on B will be Tim Kaiser with Revising Reality. And I'll be back with you tomorrow on Studio A at 2 p.m. Eastern with Willow's World. And it's an anti-Valentine special. Already got it all sorted. Going to have a format similar to today's show, so we'll revert back to the normal weekday format on Thursday, but it's going to have a format similar to today's show, or rather the geek out, you know, sort of special, you know, the not the sort of, well, one you heard last week. So anyway, you all take care, have a great Sunday, I'll see you tomorrow, take care.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Reverend.